I saw this headline. Governor Gianforte calls for northern grizzly delisting. Wildlife advocates oppose. Wildlife advocates oppose. Just who are these wildlife advocates that you're talking to? Because Jack Hanna is a big wildlife, one of the probably the most well-known ones, and he supports delisting. He says, look, there's plenty of the of grizzlies out there. Oh, but then you read the story and you're like, okay, it's from a liberal news source in Missoula, and they're basically just going out and interviewing the radical environmentalists who want to keep everything on the endangered species list forever. So they're not actually wildlife advocates. They're actually radical environmentalists. So great to get a chance to talk with a real wildlife advocate here on Montana Talks, Olivia Opry, out of the Flathead Valley. Great to have you on the program. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Does that bother you as much as it does me when you see these news sites pretend to call these people wildlife advocates and you're like, these people don't know the first thing about wildlife and habitat conservation?
They really don't. And there's this huge big picture that they completely avoid, or they rather not address. But truly, the wildlife advocate is the hunter, is the outdoor enthusiast who appreciates those environments like hunters do, whose money goes back into protecting, preserving not just animals, but the habitat and the ecosystem. It's a whole big approach. But my belief is we can work together with these animal welfare organizations because the goal is the same. We all want to preserve, protect, and enhance populations. And by allowing hunting of species similar to grizzly bears or elephants or some other controversial species, we can enhance their populations greatly. Look at Alaska. Their grizzly bear populations are exploding. You can legally hunt there. Look at British Columbia. Until a couple years ago, their grizzly bears populations are extreme because they had legal hunting until the British the British Columbia NDP ran on an anti-hunting platform that he would close grizzly bear hunting if he got elected. And because of anthropomorphism, now you have these little teddy bear huggers wanting to vote this guy in on that alone. It's just insane, their lack of ignorance in protecting these animals and the right way to do it.
Yeah, in the name of protecting something, they end up destroying it. How many times have we seen that with some of these folks out here? You've got a very impressive career, both you and your husband, Tom. And by the way, I've interviewed one of your kids on the program before. Impressive family all around. Did I read right? You got your career started as a hunting guide, and then you worked very closely with Mary and Dick Cabela. And then you've done several, outdoor TV programs and documentary films yourself as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's similar how Tom and I met was through Extreme Huntress, which is a competition we own, and just that common passion for getting the voice of the hunter heard in a way that was classy, was intelligent, was the science. And you can see with Killing the Shepherd that he does just that. It's not the Elmer Fudd approach with some white guy talking about how to do things, but the actual people that live with these animals, how they can find a way to coexist and incentivize them to want to. And that's the goal of Shepherds of Wildlife, is we are going out and getting, you know, in with the people that live with these animals and asking them what it is to coexist with a tiger, with a grizzly bear, with elephants, and what their idea is in preserving them. Let's have their voice, not just us Westerners who think we know what it is to live with an elephant or a grizzly bear. And, well, grizzly bear, we are Westerners, so sorry about that.
Yeah, we get the wolves and we get the grizzlies, but we don't realize that in parts of Africa, a hippo, we might think, oh, it'd be so cool to go see a hippo out in the wild. Well, if your village has a hippo near it, that is a massive threat to your kids and to you. And so there is every incentive out there to kill those hippos, every single one of them, except for when hunting comes at play. Now, when they allow hunting of some of those more endangered animals, what they realized is that they needed to start encouraging hunting in Africa in order to protect the species, because it attached an economic value to those animals, and the indigenous populations had a reason to protect the wildlife instead of to eliminate them, right?
Precisely. And, you know, when I talk to the, especially the British press, the two ignorant points that they have is they don't differentiate between hunting and poaching. Hunting is very limited. There's quotas, there's regulations, age limits, and that's what we have in this North American model. And then there's poaching, and that is illegal against the law, and I abhor it. The other thing that they forget is these animals, when a environment is sustainable, they reproduce, and they reproduce really well. They forget that lions have cubs, and same with grizzly bears. But when you have this over-concentration of an animal, then there's competition for food resources and territory, and other animals are going to die as a result, especially, you know, when there's the conflict between cubs and boars and sows. We just have to recognize that the hunter does play a role in that. And as long as we manage it carefully, we can really benefit from creating value in allowing the hunting of grizzly bears, but also a respect of man, a fear of man. Because right now, they don't fear us. They hear a gunshot, and they're like, oh, dinner's ready. And that is a dangerous thing that can happen in the field, and it's quite common. You could ask any hunter in Montana, and I'm sure that they've had a grizzly bear encounter just about. But
especially more so lately, the numbers are just out of control right now, and it's been that way for several years, to where it just makes common sense that the grizzly bear should be removed. Governor Greg Gianforte announced earlier this week that the state of Montana is petitioning the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to delist the grizzly population in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. Why is this something that we need to do, especially here in Montana, from your standpoint?
It's just the population has gotten so strong. It's not that we want to remove them. It's that we want to balance them. We want to ensure that their environment is healthy and that there isn't too much encroaching of each other and fighting each other over food resources. Because what about the deer? What about the elk? I mean, the grizzly bears are targeting those ungulates. We forget that, and we must recognize, furthermore, we can generate quite a bit of money to go back into enhancing their protection, whether it's the hiring of game wardens or the population of the bears by giving them more grounds and protecting their water resources, their food resources. And so I believe we could generate up to $100,000 for a grizzly bear hunt. So what's wrong with a couple of grizzly bear hunts to start off with, auction those off at a premium price, and just control those numbers? Because typically in an environment, 4% are going to die of natural causes.
Back to Olivia Opry. And she's got such an incredible background here, hunting guide. She was 2003 Miss Nebraska America competition promoting hunting, which is what got her on that platform. She's co-hosted a variety of outdoor TV programs. And I think, if I remember right, Olivia, you also do some consulting for wildlife museums in China even. So just interesting all around. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? I mean, I got some topics I was going to bring up, but I want to make sure you get the microphone before we run out of time.
Well, I think one of the things that I'd really like to highlight is folks that want to ban hunting of certain iconic species, unless they put their money where their mouth is, they don't deserve a seat at the table. The hunter, the fisherman, we're the ones that fund that through the sales of hunting licenses and tags and the Pittman-Robertson Act. And so I believe that our voice, we truly care. We're willing to pay for it, and they're not. So I think it's important that we recognize that factor when we are making decisions about delisting something like a grizzly bear.
You know, the other message that I love from you and your husband, Tom, in fact, I've got right behind me in my studio now, I've got this big, beautiful sign that Deanna Robbins dropped off at our studios from Central Montana. I've got my own Save the Cowboys, Stop American Prairie Reserve, big sign in our Montana Talk studios, because I think the battle lines are clear. Neither you're with Montanans or you're against them at this point. But you guys have talked about the importance of also working with and supporting our ranchers. If we truly care about wildlife habitat, we would support these ranchers here. We wouldn't be attacking them or trying to get them thrown off the land.
I'm telling you that the abuse that they have dealt with and their role is so important for so many reasons, both ranchers and farmers alike. And I'm worried about the future because of the pressures that they have and the lack of appreciation towards them. They're the ones that have to live with these animals. They're the ones that are feeding the New Yorker in downtown Manhattan. They are so important that we really need to recognize that and respect what they have to say on all topics to do with our land and our wild animals.
Well, Olivia Opry, great to have you on the show. We'll have to do this again, maybe even do a joint show with you and Tom at the same time. She also served as an appointee on the International Wildlife Conservation Council, reporting directly to the Secretary of the Department of Interior. Olivia, it's been an honor and a joy to chat with you this morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Tom Opry out of the Flathead Valley, Flathead filmmaker Tom Opry. Tom, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Hey, Aaron, it's a pleasure to be there, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to reach out and ask us to come on the show.
Yeah, well, I know I've been meaning to chat with you for a while because you've been picking up some awards in the international film industry, and you just got a big one. What did you get? Best International Documentary Feature, and this was all – were you in Sweden for this award ceremony, did I see?
Yeah, last weekend we were just outside of Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So tell us about the festival and kind of what all you've been up to.
Yeah, you know, we started working on a project. You know, I'm kind of a conservation filmmaker, so a lot of the things I work on relate to wildlife conservation and public and private land ownership, which are all big things here in Montana. But I ran across a project in Zambia that was about a local rural community that was led by a woman chief, which is rare for that area. And she literally... chose to break the bonds of absolute poverty that her people were experiencing by waging a war against illegal wildlife poaching. And we documented over the course of about 3.5 years, over 120 days in country, this overall situation. And it was just this incredible story where literally these folks worked with the safari hunting industry to try to team up and partner. And they were able to find a family that came into an area to help them out in an area that they, over 2 decades, had not had any, I would say, any real anti-poaching efforts. And so the poachers moved in and eradicated local extinction events. You know, certain species of animals were completely devoid on the landscape because of poaching.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. I know when it comes to hunting in Africa, some people would think, well, if you want to conserve wildlife, if you want to protect truly endangered, we have a lot of debates over endangered species in America, but some of the species they call endangered are not actually endangered in America. In Africa, there's species that truly are endangered, and oddly enough, hunting and legal hunting has been the best way to actually preserve those endangered species.
You're exactly right, Aaron. There's not a single species of animal that's been managed by science through the use of recreational hunting. You know, let's face it, today we don't have to hunt to feed ourselves. We choose to do it. And it's the North American model here of conservation that President Theodore Roosevelt pioneered and championed in the turn of the century is the absolute greatest wildlife conservation model ever to exist in human history. And there's other examples in Southern Africa. They have their kind of ranching for wildlife situation. We're now seeing community conservancies popping up throughout Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and Pakistan, where wildlife is benefiting these local indigenous communities. And when I say indigenous communities aren't just in those places, those far off lands that we hear about in National Geographic. They exist right here in Montana. You know, our ranchers that are trying to survive on the Rocky Mountain front, dealing with all these looming threats, whether it be grizzly bears and wolves, or, over in Malta, you've got a situation where, American Prairie Reserve is out there buying up big chunks of land and changing the landscape. Now, there's a lot of interesting stories to be told, and so we're working on a whole series of films where we let these people tell their stories about their relationship with wildlife and whether they're going to benefit. You know, here in Montana, do our landowners, which basically, are responsible for the stewardship of the vast majority of our wildlife, which is a public resource, if they don't get a benefit out of it, why should they keep some extra grass on the range? You know, those are the kind of questions that we have to ask ourselves.
This is awesome to hear about the work that you're doing. And I know you've been involved in the film industry now for quite some time. So this film that won Best International Documentary Feature, I understand it'll come out later this month via digital cinema release, killingtheshepherd.com. Is that the right website for it?
Yeah, the film's called Killing the Shepherd. So if you go to killingtheshepherd.com, you'll be able to watch the film. It starts on the 27th of November. It's, as you said, a digital cinema release. So it'll be exclusive to that website through January 15th. So now we are running in some limited theaters right now. We actually ran on Pulse and Showboat Theater a couple weeks ago, did a couple showings there. But, that'll be an opportunity for folks to help support us. We're running this all through a nonprofit called the Shepherds of Wildlife Society. If you go to shepherdsofwildlife.org, you'll see what we're doing there. And basically, it's an organization made up of wildlife and outdoor filmmakers and photographers that we see what's going on out there in Mother Nature. We see man's impact, and it's not pretty. And we're trying to, we see a huge problem in modern society where people don't understand their impacts on wildlife or these indigenous communities. In case in point, most people don't even know where their food comes from. Here in Montana, we usually have a little better idea, but, they did a survey in Chicago public schools, and the high schoolers were asked where their hamburgers came from, and 47% didn't know it came from a cow. So that's the things that we're dealing with.
And it may not be in Chicago right now. Who knows what kind of burger they're feeding the kids, right?
So our goal and our mission is to reconnect modern society with nature through education of our films and our photography. And, living here in Montana, it's God's country here. And so we've got some of this right here in our own backyard. But if folks are interested in watching this film, it's going to start on the 27th. You just need to go to shepherdsofwildlife.org or killingtheshepherd.com. And you'll be able to buy a cinema ticket and watch the film. And it's been accepted by 37 film festivals. We won 19 major awards around the country. And, if you really want to learn what it's like for people to live with wildlife and try to garner a benefit from it, no matter where they live in the world, but this is a great film to really understand and learn.
Yeah. So killingtheshepherd.com. And did I see that if somebody purchases a digital cinema ticket, that they'll be entered to win a trip to Africa? That'd be cool to tag along with you on a trip. I love Africa.
Aaron, I've always got people asking me if they can carry my bags, right?
So exactly.
I'm very blessed to be able to go places and do things. And so we thought, well, what the heck, let's take somebody over there. Let me host them and take them around and meet the chief and help out with the fish farm and go into the schools. I mean, this story has been incredible. The first day I came back from Africa, I happened to show the folks from African children's schools, some outdoor schools. I mean, literally thatched roof with posts, no walls, no floors, nothing. And these kids were learning from teachers that didn't even have a teaching certification, weren't even getting paid in this remote bush area. And within a week, African children's schools sent money to the safari operator to start building real schools with doors and windows, desks.
Wow.
Kids got uniforms. So now over 800 kids are going to school full time in this area, which is about a threefold increase, and they're learning English, which is the language of economics in this world.
That's a great
opportunity.
Just a remarkable story all around. You mentioned that folks were able to kind of screen the documentary at the theater in Polson. Are you open to, or are there other events scheduled elsewhere across Montana that folks might be able to catch it?
Well, we have lots of friends all over Montana, and we're kind of in the process right now. We've got a distributor that's helping us with some of the independent small mom-and-pops around the country. But if anybody has a theater would like us to come and show the film, just give us a shout. Come to come to our website, shepherdsofwildlife.org, and shoot us a message.
Killing the Shepherd just won Best International Documentary Feature. I'm not really good with my Swedish accent here, so I won't try to tell you the name of the film festival, but they won a big award at this international film festival in Sweden. Tom, when I hear you talk and I hear you tell this story and so many others, and how this story from Zambia, Africa, has so many parallels with some of the battles on the ground here in Montana, I just think that guys like you are doing the real journalism that journalists used to do that we just don't get. All we get is propaganda. It's either you're on this side or you're on that side. And especially when it comes to the environment and lands and wildlife, there's a lot more nuance there. But you either get, you know, pro-environmentalist propaganda or you get the other side. And the reality is that the ranchers on the ground here in Montana are the ones who are protecting this land. And yet they're also the ones who are in the sights and in the targets of the radical environmental groups that are out there. So anyway, just thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah, no, that's, you really bring up a good point there. And I mean, the reality here is that we have groups in this world that have political agendas. We're seeing the politicization of wildlife conservation, as you mentioned. If we truly want to take care of these ecosystems and be good stewards of the land and be good wildlife conservationists, which conservation is the wise use of a natural resource, not the preservation, which means hands off, leave it alone. That a lot of folks will recognize the two differences there. And that's a battle that's been going on for a long time here. But we see these organizations that are weaponizing social media, and they're attacking people that are out there creating value and benefit for folks. You know, we're seeing the anti-hunting organizations. Even here in Montana, we've seen, the politicization with these ballot initiatives to ban certain types of trapping. And we're seeing the same thing in different states here in the United States and in Canada, British Columbia. We're going to ban trophy hunting of grizzly bears. And the problem there is that you're hamstringing all of your scientists, the managers, the people tasked with the real facts and figures to make sure that these ecosystems are in balance. You can't manage your checkbook and only look at transactions for Thursday, Friday, and Monday of every month, right? You got to literally go out there. And a lot of people don't understand that even if you hunt some of these iconic animals, like the grizzly bear, that it actually is a huge benefit to all the other grizzly bears. And I try to tell folks, I have this analogy. We call it the rat analogy. If you have a rat in your house, what do you do to it, Aaron?
You exterminate it, or you do whatever you can
you
to get rid of it.
Right?
Every single one of them. Yeah.
Exactly. So now the rat's worth $50,000. Or $100,000. What do you do now?
Yeah, you protect it. You save it.
you protect them and you raise a whole bunch more rats if I was you. I mean, so, and that's a very oversimplification of what that model is. But the reality is if people on the ground don't see a benefit for their hard work in wildlife and habitat conservation, then they're not going to take care of it. And we've seen example after example in human history. We've done that. I mean, look at the European colonization of this continent. We destroyed a large percentage of the wildlife and wildlife habitat here because that's, we didn't know any better. But now we do. We do know better. And we live in this modern times. You know, in the film we did, Killing the Shepherd in Zambia, you know, these people are, when I first got there, there was no wildlife. I think I saw 8 or 10 animals in the first 10 days I was there. And you know, and everybody knows about the out of Africa. You know, you see the migration in Tanzania. And this area is a much more, a very thick forested area, fairly mountainous, very rugged. So you don't have these big savannas. But we didn't see hardly any animals. And when I go back now, I was there just last fall and finishing up the film, and I saw in a day probably between 300 and 600 animals in a
wow.
day.
Wow.
And so it's amazing what can happen with Mother Nature if you just let Mother Nature do its thing.